Hey, rockers, welcome back to the Rock Pod, the podcast where we tear down the walls of rock history one riff at a time. I'm Jimmy, and today we ride the lightning. Buckle up, because we're diving deep, deep into one of the loudest, fastest, angriest, and most legendary bands in the history of heavy metal, Metallica. This isn't just a band, it's a cultural juggernaut, a group that turned tragedy into triumph, lawsuits into legacy, and somehow managed to make symphonies sound metal. From musty garages to sold-out stadiums, from Kill 'Em All to 72 seasons, we're covering it all. So grab a black t-shirt, tune your air guitar, and let's enter Sandman's domain. Welcome to the Rock Pod. All right, let's rewind to the early 80s. Picture Los Angeles, a city full of hairspray, glam metal, and guys who look like they just lost a fight with their mom's makeup drawer. Meanwhile, in the smoggy underbelly of this spandex scene, Lars Ulrich, a Danish rich kid with a tennis racket and a love for NWOBHM, new wave of British heavy metal, puts out an ad in a newspaper looking for musicians to start a band. James Hetfield responds, and folks, when these two meet, it's musical fate. Lars couldn't play drums that well yet, and James wasn't exactly the frontman he'd become. But there was chemistry and volume, lots of volume. After cycling through a few lineups, they bring in Dave Mustaine on lead guitar. Yeah, that Dave Mustaine, the future Megadeth mastermind. And on bass, Ron McGovney, James's buddy who was mostly just, well, he was available. They record a demo called No Life Till Leather and shop it around like mad. In comes John Zazula, a New Jersey record store owner and wild-haired metalhead who hears their potential. He brings them east, signs them to his brand new label, Megaforce Records, and boom, Metallica is off to the races. Oh, and Dave Mustaine, yeah, he got booted just before the first album dropped. Too much booze, too many fights, not enough stability. And in comes Kirk Hammett from Exodus. And now the classic lineup is born. Rock. Kill 'Em All drops in 1983, and it's a bomb going off in the thrash scene. Songs like Seek and Destroy, Whiplash, and The Four Horsemen showed that these guys weren't here to make friends. They were here to melt your face. Fun fact. The album was originally going to be called Metal Up Your Ass. Yeah, no joke. The label was like, maybe not. Hence, Kill 'Em All. Yeah, it was close enough. Rock. By 1984, Metallica is gaining serious momentum. They tour like animals. Cheap bands, broken gear, living on gas station burritos and beer. But musically, they evolve. Big time. Enter Ride the Lightning. This is the album where Metallica shows they've got depth. We're talking about songs like Fade to Black, which starts soft and introspective, gasp, and builds into a sonic inferno. And who do we have to thank for a lot of that musical complexity? Yeah, Cliff Burton, the bassist with the Bell Bottoms and the Bach Obsession. Cliff was more than a bass player. He was a force of nature. He added layers, harmonies, and theory that transformed Metallica's sound. Creeping Death was inspired by the Ten Commandments and biblical plagues. For Whom the Bell Tolls was based on Hemingway. The Call of Cthulhu, based on Lovecraft. You see where this is going? This wasn't just headbanging, it was cerebral. But make no mistake, it still kicked your ass. ...1986, Master of Puppets hits the shelves, and suddenly, Metallica is leading the pack. This album is technical, aggressive, and flat-out brilliant. The title track alone is 8 minutes of absolute thrash perfection. They go on tour with Ozzy Osbourne, and if you think Ozzy was the craziest one on that tour, think again. Metallica was young, wild, and destructive. They were lighting hotel beds on fire and playing until their hands bled. But then, tragedy. While touring Europe, their tour bus crashes in Sweden. Cliff Burton is thrown from the vehicle and killed instantly. He was just 24. The band was shattered. They pulled cards to decide bunk assignments that night, and Cliff won the bunk. It could have been anyone. Metallica had a choice, call it quits or carry on. And they chose the latter. But they would never be the same. Rock. Cliff's replacement, Jason Newsted, a young, enthusiastic bassist from Flotsam and Jetsam. But stepping into Cliff's shoes wasn't easy. They hazed him relentlessly, turning the amp down in live mixes, pranking him, calling him the new guy for years. And in And Justice for All, he was almost entirely inaudible. Seriously, no bass, zero. Give it a listen. It was like Metallica was allergic to low end. Still, that record was a masterpiece of complexity. Tracks like Blackened, Dyer's Eve, and One were layered, political, and heavy. One became their first real radio MTV hit, complete with a grim black and white video that introduced them to the mainstream. But despite the success, tension was brewing. Jason never fully felt accepted, and the pressure was mounting. Rock. 1991, enter Bob Rock. Big time producer, big ego, big fights, but also big sound. The Black Album is born. Enter Sandman, The Unforgiven, Nothing Else Matters. Songs that dominate rock radio and bring Metallica to the masses. Now the purists, they cried sellout. Metallica cried cha-ching, and they toured for 3 years on that record. Stadium, pyro, groupies, fights. It was the peak of their power. Hetfield's vocals matured. Lars simplified his drumming. Kirk still shredded. And Jason, well, still no bass solos, but hey, the checks cleared. Rock. Pod. All right, let's talk about Load and Reload, or as some fans called them, the alt-rock years. Short hair, eyeliner, artsy album covers. Metallica leaned into a bluesier, more experimental style. They were trying to evolve, but a lot of fans, well, they weren't having it. Meanwhile, Lars was busy suing Napster, which didn't exactly help the band's street cred. He was right about digital piracy, but man, did he become a meme. Still, these albums had bangers like Until It Sleeps, Fuel, The Memory Remains, and their S&M Symphony album? Straight up epic. 2003, Saint Anger drops and confuses everyone. No guitar solos, and the snare drum sounds like a trash can. Lyrics sound like therapy sessions. And that's because they were. James went into rehab during the album's creation. The band nearly broke up. They hired a life coach. Yeah, a life coach, who basically became the fourth member for a while. The same kind of monster documentary is awkward, intimate, and amazing. You see these giants of metal arguing like kids in detention. James screaming about boundaries. Lars crying. Kirk mediating. It's real. It's raw. It's Metallica at their most vulnerable and weirdest, and definitely worth the watch. Rock. Metallica bounced back with Death Magnetic in 2008. A return to thrash, long songs, fast riffs, and yes, bass you could actually hear. Praise be. 2016's Hardwired to Self-Destruct continued that momentum. They were older, wiser, and still capable of melting faces. They were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They launched the Blackened Whiskey brand. They became cultural ambassadors for heavy metal and still made time to crush stadiums. In 2023, they dropped 72 Seasons, an introspective album that explores the first 18 years of its life. It's heavy, introspective, and proof that even after 40 plus years, Metallica isn't phoning it in. They launched the M72 tour, complete with circular stages and snake pits. Tickets weren't cheap, but man, they delivered. Today, Metallica is still one of the biggest bands on earth. They play with fire, literally. They shred, sweat, and scream. They're legends, survivors, and still fighting the good fight. So what is Metallica's legacy? Well, they brought thrash to the mainstream. They survived death, lawsuits, rehab, and even load. They pissed off fans, embraced change, and still sell out arenas across the globe. They're a band that grew up in front of us, fought, fell apart, and then got back up. Whether you're a die-hard or casual listener, there's no denying it. Metallica redefined heavy metal. All right, well, thanks for riding with me through this beast of an episode. If you liked it, share it. If you hated it, well, too bad. Until next time, this is Jimmy from the Rock Pod signing off. And remember, metal up your ass. If you liked today's episode, smash that like button. Also, be sure to follow the Rock Pod so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes. And be sure to tell your friends about us. Want to show your support for the Rock Pod? Hit that donate button and buy us a cup of coffee. Every little bit helps. Research for this episode by me and GPT. Music by the band Silvertrip. Additional music on this episode, Whiplash, For Whom the Bell Tolls, Master of Puppets, 1, Enter Sandman, Until It Sleeps, Saint Anger, and Hardwired by Metallica.